In chapter 4 of Ephesians, again, a chapter maybe that isn't as familiar to us, and maybe it is, but he speaks here about vocation. Let's read this. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, speaking to this church at Ephesus, though this is coming to the Lord's people in one of his churches, coming to us, he says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I beg you, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And so, we're going to emphasize on these ministers, but you know what? Men, you need to know what's required of a minister of God. Maybe it would be that if you're qualified, the church someday would call on you to be a deacon. Maybe one day the church would be that the Lord would impress upon you to be a preacher or a pastor. You need to know what the Lord says about those things. It's good for all of us. Brother Jim, I don't have any plans for such. You don't need to say no to the Lord. Again, if one is qualified, then you don't need to be saying no to the Lord. You need to say, whatsoever thy will be done. That's what we need to be saying to the Lord. And I understand how that is. I wanted nothing to do with being a preacher. I wanted nothing to do with being a pastor. Till the Lord leaned on me and showed me the truth that I needed to be willing to do whatever he wanted me to do. And he brought me along. And so, church members, ladies, you might say, well, ladies, sisters, don't check out on this. You need to know what the scripture says about a minister so that you can pray when your pastor falls short in doing the things that he ought to do. Or maybe it would be, and I have no intention or plan myself of going anywhere, but maybe it would be someday that the Lord would take me on to somewhere else. I have no desire for that. This is my home, and this is where I am, and this is where the Lord's called me. As I told you when you called me, my plan is I'd be buried right out here in the cemetery. I plan to finish up here. But the Lord might have other plans. Or maybe the Lord would take me on home in death or something like that, and the church would be found. All members would be found. The need to search for a new pastor. So you need to know about what the Lord says about these things. And so may the Lord help us. He says, I beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. We all have our calling in salvation. We in the Lord's church and to service and as one of the members in one of his churches, he adding to the church as he is pleased. He says, here's how we'll pursue it, with all lowliness, meekness, power under control, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. We need to be very willing and very amiable and willing to forgive one another and bear one another's burdens, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, we don't pass up sin. We don't let sin pass. If it becomes public, then we've got to deal with it as a church. And it's sad to do so, but it's required of us to do so. We must do so. But we need to look to keep the unity of the Spirit, which the Spirit of God is unified, isn't he? He's unified with himself. And he being in us, in the bond of peace, this binding in peace. And we praise God as he does that for us. He says here, look at the unity in our Lord. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. I mean, you're not looking to be reincarnated, are you? I was talking about that with somebody recently. Can you imagine? And there are those that are so, and they're there in darkness like we were before the Lord illuminated us and saved us. But they believe that they might come back as a grasshopper or as a hog or as a snake. No, you get one pass through this life, and then you go on to your long home, as the Lord says. And the only way that you have a future past this life is through salvation, and by salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. We go on to be with him and the things that he has prepared for his children. He says here that there's one hope in our calling, to be with our Lord and the promises that he's given to us. One Lord, our Savior, one faith in him, one baptism and what it signifies, how that Jesus died for us, was buried and rose again the third day, how we identify with Christ in baptism and what baptism means in its right place. And we don't dishonor our Lord in thinking that baptism is more than it is, a token, a sign of what's happened unto the individual that's been saved. One God and Father of all. He's our Father. Our Father and our great God. Not just a deity with servants, but a Father with children. I tell you what, I love that. I rejoice in that. And may we be found in this vocation that we're called into, be found as children pleasing to the Lord. You know, children can bring a shame to their parents, or they can bring a blessing to their parents. We would tell our children as we were growing up together. That whole thing of parenting, you just don't have a clue till you have some, and then you find out you don't have a clue, and then by the time you about get them raised, maybe you got a little bit of a clue. Anyway, we told them, said, now listen, we're tough on you all, we're hard on you, we're teaching you the right way, because when we go to somebody's house, we don't want them to say, oh no, here come the Dukes. We want them to say, hey, the Dukes are coming. Because see, our children can be a terror and a bad reflection upon parents. Or they can be a good reflection in obedience and right behavior and right pursuits in that. How is it with us? Being the children of our Father, do we represent Him well? He is our Father, the Father of all, who is above all, verse 6, and through all, and what a wonder in you all. It's attested here that Brother Paul is from the South. No, but he's in us and he lives within us. Verse number 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Yes, we all have differences in our calling. We have differences. Brother John said it, that no man can receive anything except it be given him of the Father. That's the way that it is. Brother Stephen pointed out this morning, do you lack? I pray unto the Father that gives wisdom liberally. And I think the Lord gives other things too, liberally. He's looking to bless us. Isn't that what it says there and towards the end of the Old Testament? That the Lord's got a blessing that we would not be able to receive? Yeah, He's that way. He's that way. He's not withheld His Son. He won't withhold anything else. And so the favor of our Lord upon us, and there is a measure of the gift. Each one learns differently, at a different rate maybe. Different ones learn different things. Different ones are called to different things. He says, but every one of us is grace, if given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, that's us, laden, and dead in trespasses and sins, and gave gifts unto men. He saved us. Captivity captive. As I've mentioned here recently, how it says, I believe in Colossians, that we apprehend, or Galatians, that we might apprehend that for which we're apprehended. I'm thankful that the Lord came and arrested me, and that He captured me. I was captive and dead in trespasses and sins, and my Lord freed me and made me His own. He didn't save me. He didn't save you to just go on our own way. And so He gives gifts unto us. Verse number 9, now that He has ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And I believe that's as He came here upon the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far up above the heavens, that He might fill all things, accomplish all things. He went to John the Baptist, said, John said, I need to be baptized to you. And the Lord says, no, we need to fulfill all righteousness, John. You baptize me. He made the way. As we've mentioned much here recently in John chapter 3, verse number 13, no man has made a way to heaven, but Jesus made a way by coming down and going back. And by Him, we are able to go. And so in this gifts, in this context of gifts, gifts unto men, we see here in verse number 11, and He gave some apostles, not all, but some. We think about that first church, and our Lord prepared 12. One of them was a devil. He knew all about that. And you know what? Our Lord knew that He was going to be going on back to be with His Father. When He accomplished all things that the Father gave Him to do, He knew that there was going to need to be a leadership for His church. And what a, from the human standpoint, what a precarious time. If you will, the recent birth, within 3 years there, of the Lord's next institution, His church, being given the keys of the kingdom, taken from a nation, and given those keys of the kingdom, they needed some leadership, didn't they? And they were going to have leadership from the Lord, but they needed leadership. They needed feet or boots on the ground, so to speak, didn't they? Sandals on the ground. They needed some brethren that had been with the Lord, saw his ministry day in and day out for 3 years, saw him die, saw him buried, and saw him raise again. That's a qualification of an apostle, that he see the ministry of the Lord, and that he see, be with the Lord, and is a witness of his resurrection from the dead. And so the Lord knew that, and so he chose these 12. Of course, Judas was reserved unto the condemnation that he was chosen unto, and then Matthias, right, is added, and the 12 apostles are complete. In time, the apostle Paul was called, and he met the qualifications too. He saw the Lord. He saw the Lord, and he was an apostle to the Gentiles. And so the Lord has given apostles. I tell you what would the New Testament look like without the apostles? Wouldn't have the book of Matthew, would we? Nor would we have the book of John. Well, we would have the book of Acts. We'd have Mark and Luke and Acts. What about all those epistles to the churches? From the human standpoint, they wouldn't be there. Praise God for his gift. He gave us the apostles. And he gave us to them for a reason. He gave us apostles to glorify him. You know what? Our brethren weren't called to glorify themselves. And even when they went their own way, the Lord corrected them. Or even we find the apostle Paul correcting Brother Peter. And it needed to be. They were called and they did serve as the ministers, the apostles of our Lord. And you know what? He gave some. It is the Lord's good gift unto us that he gave these men. That they, because of their work and their ministry under the calling of God and the leadership of the Spirit in them and the inspiration of God upon them, is the reason that you and I have what we have today. It's one element of it, a great element of it, from the standpoint of the Lord working in men. Gifts of the Lord. He gave some apostles and some prophets. And we see Agabus in that day and others. We saw John the Baptist and others. What a blessing that the prophets are. The prophets that were before the New Testament, and even the prophets that's there in the day of the Lord's church and its beginning. There were some prophets then. Also, some evangelists. Men that would go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Men that would go out and preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the heathen. And some he gave pastors. I'm a gift of God to you. It's like I've got a bow on my head. You know, it's a humbling thing to be used of the Lord in this way. And I need your prayer because I cannot accomplish this. But it is a glorious thing to be used of the Lord in this way. And I pray that that my ministry here amongst you and with you would be one that would be glorifying to our God and would be a great help unto you. I really don't think of myself as a gift to you. Where the gift is you to me. But that's what our Lord has done. A pastor is not in the stead of Christ. But as the scripture says, and I think it's there in the end of the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, that our Lord worked with them. We're here together. And I've got a ministry to fill that the Lord has called me into, and I need your prayers in that. And I need the Lord's touch upon me in that. And you know what you need to do? You need to follow the Lord too. I need to follow the Lord. You need to follow the Lord. Let us follow our Lord together. He's our head. Olmsted Baptist Church is not my church. It's the Lord's church. Olmsted Baptist Church is the church that the Lord has put us in together, and we need to follow him. And may we do so. He gave these ones. It says here, in some pastors and teachers. And whether in the original, you know, we can see pastor, teacher. A pastor does proclaim the word of God, does need to do the work of an evangelist, and does need to teach. But we do have brethren in our midst here that are teachers too. We've got some of the ladies that teach the young children here too. As we look and we dig and we try to mine out, as the brother mentioned the other night, mine out from the Word of God those truths, those blessings, that interconnect that he has in there for us. You know what? You might discover something, the Lord reveals something unto you in the Word of God, and you tell me, and you know what? You can actually teach your pastor. It's not that I can't be taught anything. Our brethren in the Sunday school classes, the Lord blesses them with things that teach me. We teach one another. And what a blessing that is. It's the Lord's good gift unto us. Now understand that in our day, there are no more apostles. Don't let anybody tell you that. Some claim that they're apostles, but they don't qualify. They've not seen Jesus in his ministry, have they? There are no prophets. We have the full canon of Scripture. We have the Word of God. It is complete. There is no more to it. And don't let anybody ever sell you the bill. Don't let anybody ever sell you the bill of goods that the Apocrypha is the Word of God. It's not. It's not. You can tell by we know it's not, but by the very reading of it, you can know and tell that it's not the Word of God. It's like a square peg in a round hole. We have the Word of God. There's no necessity for prophets. If I would ever come to you and tell you that I've got some new vision and revelation from the Lord, then you need to tell me that I need to hush and we need to stick with the Word of God. Because no man will ever have a new revelation from God that would be the Word of God ever again. We've got it right here. The extent that we prophesy is to tell over the Scripture that we have. And so no apostles in our day, no prophets in our day. We do have those that do evangelistic work. We have missionaries that we support. And again, a pastor is called to do that work. But indeed, we do have pastors. Another word used in the Scriptures, as we'll see, is elder or bishop. Don't be calling me Bishop Duke, okay? I like Brother Jim. Call me Brother Jim, or pastor. But we have these yet here today. In verse number 12, we see the beginning of the purpose of these. They're a gift from God unto us in the Lord's churches, and there's a purpose in that. As we saw recently, we need to mature. And he said, these are here for that maturing work. He said, he's given, verse number 11, he gave. In our context, we've got evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. You and I need to grow up. We don't need to stay stagnant. We don't need to be found in the same place 3 years from now, or the same place that we were found 3 years ago, in the knowledge of our Lord, in the grace of our Lord, the favor of our Lord. I tell you what, we need to be looking and drawing closer to our Lord. May the Lord help us in that. It's a lifetime of pursuit. It is a challenge indeed. I'm telling you right now, you will fail. But our God's a good God. Repent of it and ask the Lord to help you and then move on. You understand that? I'm not setting you up for failure. I'm just letting you know we are compassed about with much infirmity and weakness and distraction. We ever need to be seeking our Lord's face, that he will help us. That he will help us. You know what? He will. We need to be growing up. He said, these are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? What's that fulfilling of the Great Commission? To spread the gospel to sinners, to baptize those believers, and to teach those that are come and join themselves to the church by baptism, faith in Christ, salvation by him, to do all the things that he's commanded us to do, to observe those and to follow those and to know what they are. So these gifts of these ones are for our maturing, for the work of the ministry. Thirdly, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are his body. From the spiritual standpoint, and I know physically we can become very weak, might be the will of the Lord for us to endure affliction in that way. But spiritually, from the standpoint of knowledge of the Lord and pursuit of his work and those things, should the body of Christ be found weak? Should the body of Christ be found, the Lord's churches, or the Lord's church, Olmsted Baptist Church, should we be found not sending forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Should we be found not holding true to what baptism is and the purpose of baptism, looking at the Great Commission? Should we be found not teaching to observe all things? I tell you what, there's Baptist churches, so-called, throughout the land that have left off these things. The body of Christ is not being edified, is not being built up. Maybe, and indeed, there are those that have the name of Baptist, and that's the farthest thing that they are. Well, you know what? We don't need to worry about them. We need to worry about us. And we need to be an edifying body. These that the Lord has given, I need to be an edifier to you. Corinthians tells us that you and I need to be an edifier one to another. Builder-uppers, not tearer-downers. Builder-uppers. And the Lord's given us that way to pursue. Until when? Until, verse 13, we all come to the unity of the faith. There's one faith, it tells us in verse number 5. And we need to be found in the unity of that faith. Keep on, keep on, keep on. You know what? This will be, again, a lifetime of work. It won't be accomplished in us individually or as a church until our Lord takes us on to be with Him. But you know what? We need to be striving for it. We need to be diligently pursuing it. And the Lord has given these ministers, these stations, these pursuits, these persons in the church to do these things. So we all come to the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, there's that maturity again, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, I'll tell you what, we're not there yet. So let's keep on edifying. Let's keep on seeking the Lord's face. Let's keep on reading, feeding on the Word of God, and keep on praying to our Lord that He'll help us in every whit and every way in our lives, in our families' lives, and in our church together. May the Lord help us in this. But he goes on to say here, he says, the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a mature man, and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our goal. Don't look to be like Brother Jim. Look to be like Christ. Don't look to be like Sister So-and-so. Look to be like Christ. That's our pursuit. He says here, we need to grow up that we henceforth be no more children. You know, we looked at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about the three that abide, the three that remain for the maturing child of God. Faith in our Lord. Faith that leads us to action. Hope in our Lord. Hope in our Lord that leads us to action. Love for our Lord, for one another, and for the sinner that leads us and causes us to move to action. And we see it scattered through the Scripture. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Brother Peter told us that there would be scoffers in the last times, didn't he? He told us there would be those that would mock the truth of the Lord. And I tell you what, if you're not founded in the Scripture, if you and I are not founded and settled in the Scripture about what the Lord said, we can be swayed. We can be turned. We can start to get picked up with that wind of that wicked doctrine in that erroneous way. So we need to grow up. We need to go on to having those foundational things of our Lord that we continuously and always rejoice in. That sincere milk of the Word. And we go on and we grow up to understand how we need to be like our Lord and how He lived and how He has loved and how He has served and how He was a witness to the truth. Jesus is that faithful witness. And you know what? We need to be faithful witnesses too in so many things that our Lord speaks to us. Be no more children. Don't be tossed to and fro. Wind of doctrine not blowing us around. There are deceivers. And we need to be founded and settled upon our Lord and His good word. A theme verse for our church has been that for many years, verse number 15, but speaking the truth in love. And indeed, we need to. And you know, we can. We don't need to be angry about the truth. Does the truth make you angry? Does the truth make you grit up and ball up and your veins pop out in your neck and get all beet red? Truth shouldn't do that to us. We are to rejoice in the truth. And believing that the Lord has given us the truth, we need to be willing to take that and share that with others. Share that with others. You know what? We can fellowship with folks to the extent of what we have in common. And we need to know that. It's not a thing about being a separatist. Oh, we do. We are a peculiar people. Indeed. And we need to follow our Lord. But you know what? We need to be a witness to all men. We need to be a witness to all men. Of the things that we can be a witness to them about. Speaking the truth in love. that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That little part of the of our lives that maybe we don't think the Lord gives a lick about. I think the Lord gives a lick about everything. He cares about everything in our lives. Because every bit of our lives. Doesn't the scripture say we've been bought with a price? You think the Lord bought 80% of us and then left 20% to ourselves? No. When he bought us, he bought us. He bought all of us. And may we live for him. So these gifts of our Lord. It goes on to say here, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him. This is the purpose of these in the ministry. It started with apostles, but now here in our day, we're down to the evangelists and pastors and teachers for this work, that we might speak the truth in love, may grow up into him, which is the head, even Christ. Verse number 16, listen. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Brother Derek, Sister Stacy's been added to Olmsted Baptist Church by the Lord. You know what? They are to nurture us and we are to nurture them. They have their place, because if they've been added by the Lord, they've got their place. They've got their position. They've got the thing that the Lord has called them into. Forgive me for picking on y'all. I'm not picking on y'all, but singling you out. But that's the way it is for those others that have joined. Everyone's got their place. Everybody's got that which they nourish, the nourishment that they need, the nourishment that they give. That's the way the Lord's put us together. We all have a calling. We all have a ministry. We've all got a part. And we're thankful that the Lord does fit us together as he has. Listen to what that says again. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, were to be close, not strung out, not separated, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, speaking like a body. You know, it'd be hard for your knee to work with the lower part of my leg over there and my upper part of my leg here. It really put a strain on my knee. And in this allegory, if you're the knee, you'd be hollering and screaming, wouldn't you? Right. Compacted. We need to be near. Hebrews tells us we need to draw near, don't we? According to the effectual working of our Lord and the measure of every part, he has made us the part that we're to be. And there's no part greater than any other part, and there's no part less than any other part. But listen. A part. Take your part. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself, the building up of itself in love. This I say therefore, verse number 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the emptiness of their mind. We've got a bunch of emptiness that's yet going on today. Amusement. No thinking. I tell you what, we need to be thinking about what our Lord has given us. We need to think about our purpose. We need to go to our Lord and consider about why the Lord has put us here and where he's put us and how we might fill what he would have us to do. Empty thinking leads to verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's what the Lord saved us from. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, listening only to the body, their own physical body, to work all uncleanness with greediness, covetousness. Gimme, gimme, gimme. You know what? Being a member of one of the Lord's churches, if you're going to be a member of one of the Lord's churches, yeah, you and I will have need that will need to be helped by the church. That's that nourishment coming our way. But you know what? It's not just one way. We need to be givers too. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about self. One that's older might say, Brother Jim, I just can't get around like I used to. I know, but you can pray for your brothers and sisters. You can be an encouragement to them in some way that you could have understanding from the Lord about. You could pray for your pastor, pray for your brothers and sisters, pray for the ministries of the church. There's always something all of us can do. There is. And we need to pursue that. Not be as it was when the Lord, before the Lord saved us, being empty-minded and past feeling, living for self, being covetous and just gimme, gimme, gimme. No, we need to give of ourselves too. What's the example of Christ? Is Christ a giver or a taker? Christ is a giver, isn't he? Indeed. Our Lord said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And praise be to God, he did give. He gave for us. What's it go on to say? But ye have not so learned Christ. He said, that's past you. He's speaking to the church at Ephesus, and they got a lot of baggage. Remember, Ephesus is that place, is it not, where Diana was worshipped, where the little shrines were made, right? If we got the right city, they were all about Diana, Diana, Diana. They were takers. They've been saved from that. We've been saved from our sins and from our old wicked way. It says here, but ye have not so learned Christ, verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Brother Peter, when we took a look at his second epistle, we saw that reference there. We saw that chapter that was there about dealing with those that are on the fringe. And I posed it to you that way. Those that are saved, but maybe behaving and walking like they're unsaved. Though they're saved, they'll never be lost. But you know what? They can be pursuing a wicked way. I think Saul was that way. Samson was that way. Lot was that way. We've got those that are not saved. But you know what? They get over here and they meddle in things and they try to look saved. And you know what? Appearance-wise, they might look better from the standpoint of being saved than a child of God who is wayward. It can be. And so these caveats are these little points for thought. If you've really heard, if you've really believed. What would he say? Let's read it again. If so be that you've heard him and have been taught him as the truth is in Jesus. Are you saved? Has the Lord saved your soul? Did he die for you? You're trusting in him and his gospel? Has he saved your soul and called you? Have you seen your sin? Because it may be that there might be some that have not. I was one of them. I was like that. I was trusting in this, trusting in that. I thought this experience was salvation, this experience was salvation. I didn't have Jesus. Didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Lord saved me. I had Jesus. Then I've had Jesus ever since in 1987 when the Lord saved me. He says here, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Again, these that are gifts unto the church, these instructors, these leaders, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and I think we can include deacons in here. We'll see about their qualifications of deacons and their place in the church. But these are to help us in these things. If so be, you've heard him, have been taught by him, if as the truth is in Jesus, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, thinking, speaking, and doing, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the new man. And that and true holiness. So put off the old man, and put on the new. We've seen much about things relative to that and the fruit of the Spirit in recent times. Wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I tell you what, we're stuck with each other. This thing about coming in the Lord's church and being added by the Lord to his church, it's permanent. The only way you get out of here is die, move on to another church, or you give testimony you never were saved in the first place, or Lord forbid it come that we would be involved in public sin and we have to be put out of the church. I pray that's never the case. Put away lying. Be truthful. We are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. He tells us, He said, be angry. If you're going to be angry, don't let it cause you to be wrathful. Don't put legs on that anger. And hang on to that. We want to see what he says here in a bit. Neither give place to the devil. He'll sure take it. We have that saying, give him an inch and take a mile. That's the way Satan is. And may the Lord help us that we resist him. We have the promise that if we resist him, he'll flee from us. Let him that stole steal no more. Put that away, but rather let him work, labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth, that he might be a giver. He can provide for himself, and he might be a provider for others who are in need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, specifically talking about speech. These that are gifts in the church are here to teach us about these things. From the good word of God. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I preached a message here not too long ago about what kind of ammunition do we give Satan to use in our lives. You know, Satan hears me. I'm just going to use an example and pick on you, Brother Mark. Satan hears me bad-mouthing Brother Mark. You know what? Satan can take someone else and bring into the picture and stir up the strife. If I have aught against my brother, I need to go to my brother. We get it straightened out. But there's ammunition. When I talk bad about my brother, you think Satan's not listening to that? He sure is. He'll create situations and circumstances with the leeway the Lord gives him. You know, if I got aught against my brother, I need to go talk to him. I don't need to badmouth him. We don't need corrupt communication coming out of our mouth. We need our yea to be yea and our nay to be nay. Listen to this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Because you know what? What we speak, others hear. And it has an impact. It has an effect on them. And we need to be builder-uppers with them too. It's one thing to state the truth. It's another thing to be vengeful in our pursuits and with our mouth. No corrupt communication. Verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians not to quench the Spirit of God. We are sealed in the day of redemption. Our very seal, the Spirit of God within us. I don't need to grieve him with my bad, sinful behavior. But to be an edifier in the Lord's church. Let all bitterness, listen to this, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice or getting back. He says in verse 26, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your anger with legs on it. He says here, put it away. That's better. Put it away. Put away being angry. Being willing to forgive like the Lord forgives. He says, put those things away. Put bitterness away. Many are defiled by it, the scripture tells us. Put away wrath and put away anger. Put away clamoring after things. You know what it means to clamor is we're just pawing and digging for a thing more than likely we don't need. We don't need to be that way. And evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice, wanting to get back for that which has been done to us. What's he say to us in the church? These that are given by the Lord to the church for its instruction and for its leadership. You know, leadership from the standpoint of a pastor, the teachers and evangelists telling us about the Word of God, the pastor instructing and teaching and preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. And be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the standard. The enormous, unpayable debt of this sinner, forgiven by my Lord, I could never pay it back in thousands of lifetimes. Could never do it. He's forgiven me. Is there anything upon this earth? Is there anything upon this earth by the Lord's help and grace that could happen to us that would compare that you and I shouldn't forgive? Our Lord, as he was being crucified, our brother Stephen, as he was being stoned, Their words are very similar. Our Lord Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Brother Stephen said, Father, lay not this sin, don't lay this to their account, to their charge. And so may we be a forgiving people. Lord, help us. I tell you what, it's easy to preach it. It's easy to say it. But again, we need to go back to the Lord to help us with it. Teachers, deacons, preachers, and pastors, the ministers of our Lord, the gift of our Lord in the churches, and may our Lord help us as we take a look further at these different offices.